and of his assiduous friend, he desired to be carried often to the grove which he so loved. There he would ask to be left alone, as if wishing to speak with unseen things. Mucides ever granted his requests, though his eyes filled with visible tears at the thought that Kalos should care more for the fauns and the dryads than for him. At last the end drew near, and Kalos discoursed of things beyond this life. Mucides, weeping, promised him a sepulchre more lovely than the tomb of Musolus, but Kalos bade him speak no more of marble glories. Only one wish now haunted the mind of the dying man, that twigs from certain olive trees in the grove be buried by his resting place, close to his head. And one night, sitting alone in the darkness of the olive grove, Kalos died. Beautiful beyond words was the marble sepulchre which stricken Mucides carved for his beloved friend. None but Kalos himself could have fashioned such bas-reliefs, wherein were displayed all the splendours of Elysium. Nor did Mucides fail to bury close to Kalos' head the olive twigs from the grove. As the first violence of Mucides' grief gave place to resignation, he laboured with diligence upon his figure of Tyche. All honour was now his, since the tyrant of Syracuse would have the work of none save him.